day, everyone. Welcome back to the Atlanta Podcast. I am your host, Matt B. Davis, and I've got a great episode for you today, starring DJ Rated X. So excited to bring this episode to you. We are really hitting the swing of things. I've been doing this podcast, believe it or not, for 5 years. The summer of 2017, I went back and looked to find the date, July 2017, I had Chef Kevin Gillespie on. He was awesome. And I've had, 160-something episodes since. Yes, we've had some ups and downs, but we are here to stay now. And I'm very excited because I'm really into a groove. You're getting episodes now every single Friday, and you will for the foreseeable future. That's right. I tried to say foreseeable, and I said foreseeable future. And I've got this amazing new studio I'm recording out of. I'm recording these wonderful intros and outros and doing most of my daily working at the amazing Create ATL. Love being here. Awesome spot in Adair Park. Check it out sometime soon. It's just open with some new co-working stuff. There's different levels of membership, blah, blah, blah. And listen, every single co-working space in Atlanta is like, we're a community, blah, blah, blah. But they're not. A lot of them are just a fucking building that people come in and out of. They're building a real community here at Create ATL. Come in, see Puya, find out all about it. Speaking of Create ATL, today's episode is sponsored by Fink at a Filter, which is, believe it or not, inside Create ATL. I met them at their first location inside the brewery over there. What is the name of that brewery? I'm thinking out loud so I don't have to pause this thing. Wild Heaven Brewery. They're over there on the West End Beltline. Go check them out. Or right over here, they got a little Fink at a Filter flyer out there, a little trailer right there. You can just drive by and grab your coffee or come in, do some work, chat with us here. But I love Fink at a Filter. Let me tell you a little bit more about them. Now, if you're going to read their like company vision or purpose or their LinkedIn, it says Fink at a Filter is a queer women-led company comprised of the most rad, grounded, and welcoming people you'll ever meet. We promote equity, honesty, and inclusion through partnerships. In our online coffee shop, coffee bar, and farmers markets, you'll find delectable coffee from the diverse perspectives that make the Georgia coffee sector rich. Now, that's what it says, but I can tell you, again, from my personal experience, I love drinking coffee with them. The baristas know my name. Kayla knows my name because I'm a pain in her ass, and I bug her every day when I see her. And you can get, of course, all the regular stuff that you get, whether you like it black or cold brew or your regular lattes. And then they make special stuff that they come up with, like the Pam and Pam, dedicated to couples with the same name. It's an iced or hot latte with black sesame syrup. I take it iced. But go check them out. Fink and Filter. Come see them over here. And you can say hey to me if you want to. But let's get to today's program, which was recorded at my other home away from home, Magic City. That's right. I said it like that. And yes, I'm not ashamed. Magic City, as you know, as we've been talking about on these episodes, has become a little mini home. We're recording some episodes there because I went to the good folks there after we met Juju and said, why don't we do some more stuff here? Just kind of the vibe during the day, you know, the memories, the magic of Magic City, interviewing Atlanta legends inside of Magic City. And Loma from Magic City recommended I speak to DJ X, aka DJ X Rated. And that's what we're going to do. So let's dive in. This chat was just a few weeks ago in the wonderful confines of Magic City. Away we go. So where do you stay these days?
I'm downtown. I live downtown.
Can you be more specific? You don't have to give me the address.
Nah, I can't give you. Not these, but high rise. High rise downtown.
Okay.
Right.
Because I don't know anybody that lives downtown.
Man, it's very expensive. Like, you have to have some money to live downtown. Now I got friends that stays on the outskirts of Atlanta, and I love visiting, you know, but it's something about the city that it fuels me. It gives me that energy, you know, and to be out in the country with, you know, grass and a big backyard is my idea later in life. But right now, nah, I love downtown. It's like the ocean is just always moving. It's always people. And in my line of work, I need that energy.
Where did you grow up?
I was born in Noonan, Georgia, like 20 minutes from south from downtown.
Right.
And I was raised with my grandparents, Old National, Peachtree City, Union City, you know, the south side of Atlanta, right before you get to the airport.
Did you play ball in high school?
Mm-hmm. I was a big athlete, man. You know, I went to Auburn. You know, I played football at Auburn. and graduated with in psychology, and I studied communications, you know. But I was big time sports, four star letterman. I went to high school in East Coweta, and they gave me a scholarship, you know, and that's big in my family because no one has been to college.
Well, I'm just gonna describe you to the listener that doesn't know. You're not a large man.
No.
So what position did you play?
Defensive back.
Okay, that's what I was going to guess. I was like, he's probably DB or safety.
Yeah. Right? I was NFL bound and everything.
So man, what happened?
I got injured. Never been injured my whole career. I started as a freshman in college, and playing in the SEC is really saying something, you know, as a freshman. And my last year, my senior year, was kind of my toughest year because I got injured, and we had a new coaching change, and my mom passed, you know.
Sorry.
And to go through all that and still come out as I am now, you know. At first, I didn't know. I didn't have.
Who recruited you?
For colleges from Georgia to Florida State.
No, who came to visit you, like from Auburn?
I want to say, Terry Boughton. It's like Terry Boughton's staff.
Right.
But I can't even remember that far. I mean, it was 20 years ago, you know?
So, but how many other schools wanted you, and why did you pick Auburn? Because I'm guessing some other SEC schools did want you.
Well, actually, man, that's a great story, Matt. I wanted to go to Michigan. So I had Michigan recruiting from Florida State to Georgia Tech to Alabama, most of all the Southern colleges.
Right.
And I couldn't pass the ACT. And it was a problem. Like, I took it twice, and I might do good in science, and I fuck around and do bad in math.
Right.
Right. And back in the day, there was like this bias issue with the ACT and the SAT, and black people shouldn't take the SAT. You know? And I took the SAT and scored a 1200 on it, and my first time taking it. So all that stress about the ACT, I should have just took the SAT. And, you know, man, a lot of colleges, they withdrew from recruiting me. They just thought I wouldn't be able to pass this shit, right? And Auburn was really the only school that's like, yo, we'll get you tutoring. We'll, you know, anything you need help with, we'll make sure you pass, and so you can play this season. And one of my cousins, Carson Bailey, he was already at Auburn. He went to high school with me also. So he was a wide receiver there a year before me.
Right.
So that was a good thing. I knew someone there. And once I went to visit, it was like home, man. Like, Auburn is a great place, great school, great people, great alumni. And I fell in love with it. And to this day, I still rep Auburn. Even when Auburn plays Georgia, it's a big problem for me because people think I'm from Alabama.
Right.
Because I go so hard.
You tied with Cam?
Yeah, man, Cam, my boy. Cam changed the dynamics of college football, like literally by himself. Just, you know, and it's some great Tequila Spites. I played with him. I played with some awesome players.
You almost played with Brady if you went to Michigan. Wasn't that the end of his career 20 years ago?
Yeah, it was. It would have been. Like, I really wanted to go to Michigan. Michigan, if you're listening, you missed out on a great thing.
So, so when you get hurt, right, your next thought is like what? Like, oh shit, and then what?
So I got hurt, I pulled a hamstring, and not only I pulled it twice. So I did rehab three times a day for 3 months or 2 months, and then I'm ready to play again, and I tear my shit again. The first game I came back, it was against Steve Spurrier and Florida, the Gators. And Spurrier, you know, I've been injured, and it's my and the game I came back on, I never forget this. I didn't start the game, but in the first quarter I went in, and Steve Spurrier is such a great coach that he ran three takeoff routes. You know what a takeoff route means?
Yeah.
Takeoff route toward me, like straight down the field, right, three times in a row. First down, second down, third down. Right.
Right.
And I broke up the pass every time, but on the last time I pulled my shit again. And it was heartbreaking.
So he's like, that dude's come back from industry.
Yeah.
Let's just run, like, go route.
Go
like,
route.
Just go.
Yeah. And his fucker, and the fucker, I broke up all three passes. And do you not know, in the last one, man, I injured myself again. So that was a big depression part of my life. that I'm like, damn, I've never been injured. Now I got the combine coming up. I'm still not as full capacity, you know. And if I would have left my junior year, I'd have went second round, first round, you know. But I'm not thinking like that. I'm thinking, go back my senior year and dominate. And shit just went for the worst. But at the same time, it was a blessing also, you know. Because everybody in my family just knew they're going to see me on Sundays. Everybody in my community, they just knew, you know. And then it didn't happen. And I just remember, after college, I remember coming back home and everyone, to my school teachers, to my old coaches, like, what happened, you know? And I was like, shit, I got injured. Like, I can't explain that. But I took a year off. Really, I was in depression. And I took a year off, and I'm sleeping on my cousin's couch in Union City for about fucking a year. But finally, you know, I made my move to go to a strip club, man. This is God truth. And it wasn't magic. I wish it wasn't magic, but it was pinups. And I remember sitting in a DJ booth, like asking the DJ to play a song. And I remember just hanging out in the DJ booth. Right, this is my first time. Like, I always been going to strip clubs since I was sneaking in strip clubs. But this time,
where was Pinups?
Pinups on the east side in Decatur.
Okay.
On Punt. So you got like Pinups and Strokers. They like east side clubs, strip clubs, right?
Right.
And I remember the very next weekend.
People know Strokers from the song.
Yeah, Strokers. Strokers big. Strokers kind of like icon in the city also. But I remember, man, coming the very next week. And I'm back in the DJ booth. And this is honest God truth. And the DJ left to go use the restroom, and the song went off. Meanwhile, it's a club full of people.
Right.
And they started booing. Boo, fuck the DJ. And I'm the only one in the DJ booth.
Right.
So my big break, just how I got my career started was I grabbed the microphone, and I remember saying, like, boo me, like, fuck you, that old ass FUBU jersey on, or some things I said. and the people in the club went crazy. Like, they was laughing and shit.
Right.
And I played, like, a juvenile song. I remember what the DJ was doing, because I always been into music. And I remember, like, you know, you put this, like, back then it was CDs. Put this CD in, and just mash play, you know? And that was my big break, and I played a juvenile song, and the manager comes up to the DJ booth and asks me, you want to host? You ever host before? And I'm out of college, you know? And I'm like, no. How much it pays? And it was, like, $300 for 20 minutes. And I'm like, what?
What?
Hell yeah, host. I'm the best host in the world. Matter of fact, I know Jimmy Kimmel and all these people, you know? And that was my big break. I just went from hosting to DJing. And it was, you know, and it was a great
opportunity. Can you explain to the audience what that means, the hosting?
So hosting is like, it's like a hype man for the clubs. You know, when a DJ, some DJs, they're not real talkative. So when you just ad-lib and shouting people out.
But why is it only 20 minutes? That's the part I don't understand.
Well, the amateur night. So it's amateur night.
Oh, okay, got it. Okay. I was like, why would they only have you come in for 20? Got it.
Yeah,
okay.
Man, I was good, bro.
Right.
Like, fast with the tongue, one-liners, keep people energy. And back then, it was, when I started right when BMF and Big Meech was coming to the club. So on my nights, they would only come on my nights. And the club owners and shit was trying to figure out, damn, how this kid like get all the big names to come on his night?
Did the name come right away?
What?
Your name.
DJ X-Rated?
Yeah.
Now, X-Rated started in college. Like, my nickname was Dirty. Dirty in college at Auburn. Hey, Dirty, what you doing today? Because I was known for parties and all this shit. But the X-Rated came from a pool party. This one I was ripped, like, you know, I'm fat now. But when I was ripped.
He's not fat, ladies and gentlemen.
Fat, but, right. You know. And I remember, like, I was ripped, and I got out of the pool, and my fucking swim trunk was hanging off, like, half down my ass. And I remember this girl took a picture, and that shit, back then, it wasn't viral.
Right.
We had MySpace, you know. And Tom, you know. You remember Tom?
Tom from MySpace, yeah. Of course.
And I remember a girl posted on that X-Rated. Like, she's kind of, like, blur, like, covered up the, you know, like my waistline or something. Right. And I remember she posted X-Rated on it, and the picture went crazy on campus. And, you know, but I just stuck with that X-Rated part because of strip clubs and my style of play, you know. And it stuck. And sometimes I wish I would have came up with another name.
Because
I can't, listen, man. I can't sit here and be like, okay, I'm about to go read for the kindergartens.
Oh, right.
At Thomasville Elementary.
Right.
Okay, who's the reader? oh, we got DJ X-rated. It's not going to fly well with kids and their moms and parents. They not, right. DJ X-rated is coming to read to my fucking five-year-old. Not today, you know. And I have that gift and the curse. But
I was just thinking.
Time,
I was trying to think of like an example. I'm like, well, Killer Mike goes, but it's still like it is the word killer. But
yeah, like
but,
Titty Boy. Remember Titty Boy? He turned into Tang. He got tired of that shit. You know. I have all these acronyms and shit. Like I got alias like Obama Son and Hector Lopez, like Alter Ego.
Right.
And then I got Just Call Me X. You know.
Right.
Right. But to get out the X-rated stigma, you know, it's kind of they lie.
Right.
Yeah.
So you start hosting these, and what club is this that you were doing this?
Pinups.
So this is Pinups in what year?
I'm going to say 2005.
So did you think at that time, like obviously if you got the gift of gab, right, and quick on, you know, capping on the guy in the FUBU shirt, whatever, but then when you're thinking, okay, I need to learn how to spin, how to mix, like how did that part?
Right. So that came from, I remember these DJs like DJ Funky and Big C and Kool-Aid, they was already legends in the game. So what I was known for was mixing. You know, they would just play one record and that shit stops and here comes another record. Meanwhile, not me. I was in that blending records already. Like, okay, I'm going to take Jill Scott and put that with P. Diddy, you know, and give it some kind of flavor. And it took off. And I remember being on Day Shift. Like, you see how it is now? Day Shift is like, not a people 10 right.
Well, we're actually officially not open yet, but yes.
Right.
Even when Day Shift starts.
Right. So you might have like the half of night shift crowd. But on my days, my shit was packed more than the night shift. And they couldn't, you know, because I was the flavor songs, it just my whole persona. And I remembering the manager, I forgot her name, the manager's like, yo, you want to move with the night shift? Because like I'm out doing the night shift DJs. And my career just kept going, just shit, man, off learning how to DJ. But I always had a passion for music, you know, like always growing up in my family, it was music from the time you fucking wake up to the time you go to sleep, you know, like in my younger days, my family like hustlers, so they selling food, a little marijuana and shit, you know, and it was always a party. I just remember like, I got practice at 5 in the morning, and it's still people in my house at 4:30 or 3:30 partying. And I was like, damn, you know, I got to get out this. But to be told, it helped me in my career path today, you know? Because I've traveled the world, like, off music. And not only that, but the stigma of a strip club DJ back in the day, it wasn't. Like, they was looked upon as the worst DJs in the world.
Do you want to hear my impression of the late 80s, 1990s white DJ on Highway 41?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
on Highway 41.
I would love to hear that. Please let me do this.
Coming up on the main stage, we got Candy. Rosalina's on deck. You got to get the dollars to make them holler. You know, they had the really bad rhymes.
Yo.
That's the strip clubs I grew up with.
And what year you said this was?
So I grew up in Marietta, okay?
Right.
And remember they had all those clubs on Highway 41?
Yep.
I can't even remember the names of them now. Taj Mahal. There was like
Boomers.
Boomers.
Remember Boomers?
Yeah. So I know I don't look that old, but yeah, that was my.
You're not that old, though, guy.
I know, but like, oh, like,
yeah.
Like, look at me. I'm not coming to Magic City when I'm 18 years old, right?
No.
That's not happening. I don't even know Magic City exists probably at that point. So anyway, so that was those guys.
Right.
But it did make me want to ask you, though, when it comes to music, like, you know, the DJ at that time, he's just an afterthought. He's going to play the song, right?
Mm-hmm.
But with you, what is the culture if you go in a new spot of the girls like, hey, this is my song versus what you like? How does that work?
It is very unselfish because I want to play what I want to play. She want to hear what she want to hear. The customers want to hear what they want to hear. So it's a fine line. Like I have to fine tune it. Okay, I might get two songs in, and then she might want to hear a money song. A money song is like the hottest song out, and every time you hear it, they gonna throw money, you know, off the song. And the customer, oh my God, X, can you please play Nelly? It's getting hot in here. I'm like, I'm not playing no motherfucking Nelly. I don't give a fuck how much money you give me, you know? And I can't be selfish, so I might play a little Nelly, right?
Right.
I'm the hero.
Right.
So the girl might want a money song, but the customer wanna throw money off Nelly. So she might get mad.
What if Nelly comes in here?
Oh, yeah, Nelly have came in here.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. I'm sure Nelly's come in here.
Yeah, but I'm not playing on Nelly's set.
No, I get it. Yeah. I get it. So 2 hours later, somebody comes in. They haven't been here. And they're like, oh, can you play? And you're like, oh, we already played that. Like, you know what I'm saying?
So you might have to repeat, you know?
That's like, what I'm asking. Yeah. Like, how often you have to? Because
a few times
a night. You guys are open. Like, is it 3 to 3?
Uh-huh.
Right. So that's a long night.
Yeah. So by the time I get here, it's night shift. So it's like 10 o'clock. And you try to save your hottest songs for later when the crowd gets in. And that was the myth years ago. Now you can play the song as many times as you want to. You get what I'm saying? Like a hot song, like a Future song or a Kodak or a Young Boy NBA. Like, you might play them songs 3 or 4 times.
When you say it was a myth that could only be played once?
Yeah. Like, people was holding songs. Like, I'm not going to play it yet. It's not time yet.
Oh, because then, like, all the money's going to fucking drop. Yeah. One side.
If you play this record, like a Jeezy back in the day, like a Jeezy or Gucci Mane or who else? Little John and shit, you know, they going to act the fool with the money. And the girls be like, don't play it yet. Wait till some more money get in here and save that song.
Right.
And we used to do that shit. Even DJs opening for us, they would like play all like the bullshit songs and then wait till the crowd comes in and then play all the top, you know, top 10, top 100.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. So take me through. So you're working regularly and then do you think, okay, the money's actually over here or is it different nights or how do you start getting other gigs?
Basically, like I kind of brought the money to me. So I never chased the money. So wherever spot I was working at in the beginning of my career, it was always loaded. Or lit or packed. You get what I'm saying? Every club.
Are you trying to explain lit to me like I'm a white person? Is that what you just
said?
Well,
for your listeners, they definitely fucking white. You might have a few black people tuning in right now. But at the same time, to create that energy, it takes energy. So I can't have a bad night. I can't be depressed or my girl broke up with me and I don't feel like DJing tonight, you know? So my whole idea was give them the end, just like a Vegas, it's like going to Vegas. Give them that show and then at 3 o'clock when the lights come on, I can go home and rest and sleep and eat, you know, and back at it the next day. But to generate that, it's talent, really.
So that's what I'm asking is how you start. Do you just hear like, okay, so I'm going to go like, again, is it amount of which, like obviously Monday nights here is the most, but is that how you started working more? That's what I was asking.
Oh yeah. So clubs have they biggest nights, you know, evidently Magic City Mondays and you got Blue Flame Tuesdays and Onyx on Wednesdays. So what was end up happening was I was on them nights.
Right.
So I might be here, then I go to Onyx and work and go to the Flame or back in, you know, back a little later, it was like Body Tap. I was going to these spots and they was all booming the nights I worked, you know, and I end up traveling my first tour out the strip club. Like I told you, DJs was looked up on bad. Strip club DJs was looked up on bad. If you went on the radio or nothing, they look at you like a third world DJ. And it took the Outlaws from Tupac had a group called the Outlaws. And it took Edie. It's like, you know what? X-Rated is fine. Like, he's a good DJ. And they took me on my first tour around, like a world tour.
What year is this?
So this is 2009. Yeah, 2009. And for me, I'm a country boy from Atlanta. And I'm like, I'm in Australia, all of Australia, from Sydney to the Aborigines.
And are you like opening for them? Like, how does...
No, I'm doing their sets. I'm their DJ. So they got Snoop on the show. They got all these West Coast rappers on the West Coast, you know. And I don't know anything about no fucking, like, you know, not to be funny, West Coast artists at the time. And I'm hanging out with these people, and I'm their DJ. So that was cool also, just coming from the strip club, you know. And I just remember going to Canada, and I got a little record on my pass, and they would not let me
stop you at the border.
Fucking harass the shit out of me, talking about some shit in high school, you know, like old charges. And I'm like, damn.
Yeah, I learned that a friend of mine couldn't get in, and it's something ridiculous like 10 or 15 years.
Yes.
And so it's like something at 20 is going to hold you up until you're 30. Come on.
That's Canada, not even... Yeah, so Canadians at the border, you know the story. It's not pleasant. Customs, you know, this, like everybody knows the story about going to Canada.
If you're legit their DJ, like if I'm a guitarist, right? Like, hey, you're going to play with us. here's the songs, and you can kind of fake your way through the rest. If you're a DJ, it feels like you really need to know the songs. You don't want to fuck up the singer.
Yeah, so I had to learn this. I had to learn these songs.
Like, how quickly can you learn somebody's set?
Not fast. Not fucking fast. You know, I'm a smoker. I'm a pothead. I'm fucking getting high. And so I have to. So I had to write the shit down. Like, okay, this is the order of the playlist. And I remember, you know, fucking up a few times. And I remember the band members and shit was, yo, X, what the fuck? Like, they might be like, don't play Hit 'Em Up or something. Or, like, you know, a controversial song. And I play this shit anyway. Because that's what they wanted to hear. And they would get mad. Or I might forget where to start the song at. On, you know, when you on tour and when you're doing concerts, it's like keywords they say that lets you know it's time to play the music.
Right.
And I might have had a brain fart, man. I'm not going to lie.
And so they turn around and say it again.
Yeah, and I'm up here like drinking some water or some shit. Like, oh, yeah. Fuck, I forgot the punchline. Right. Like, you know, but you learn, though. A couple fuck-ups, you know, you learn real quick.
So this is happening. Did you say to yourself, do you remember like waking up one day and saying, okay, this is not my life. I am a DJ. For better or worse, this is now my life.
Yeah. Well, yeah. At first, when I first started, you know, I was broke. I played football in college. Like, I never had a job, guy. Never. Not one time have I punched in. Not one time have I had to be from, you know, I received a paycheck, like checks. You know, everything was cash. And I just remember, like, damn. Especially when I went on tour. Let me start like that. When I went on tour, that's when it really sunk in, like, okay, I might have a career in this. Because at first it was just a hustle. I just want to make some money. Like, you know, and all my dreams and shit in the NFL, and that was out the door. And I just remember, like, okay, to have a psychology degree, they going to want more schooling. And I went with that shit either. So when I became a DJ, it just took over that in my mindset. I can travel the world and meet these people that I was listening to just by doing music. And it stuck, and I took that shit serious. And I practiced and rehearsed and, you know, did my homework more than the other DJs. And they couldn't understand how I was moving up so fast, you know?
Because you worked harder.
Yeah. But that just come from sports and, you know, like seeing the progress. You don't see it at first. You know, like when I said, like, I'm fit to work out. And you start working out and you keep looking in the fucking mirror thinking you're about to have a six-pack tomorrow. It doesn't work like that. So I had to, you know, use that same mentality.
And you think that's what you would attribute your success to, is just outworking folks?
No, I contribute. Yeah, I definitely. That's one. And me personally, it's only one me. Like, it's only one you. Like I told you earlier, you do a great job interviewing. And I'm like, and people see that. So when they see that, they was like, well, this is, damn, I need this, a breath of fresh air. Or I like his style. And then they start to gravitate towards you.
Right.
And want to be where the fuck I'm at. They want to be there. So it has a lot to do with a lot. But these two main things, hard work and preparation and being you. And I live by that code. Like, I never wanted to be or imitate anyone else in the game. You know, it was always about, okay, X here. Like, when you walk in, people start smiling. When last time you walked in somewhere and a person starts smiling because you walked in?
It's a great feeling.
It's a great feeling. So that's it's toxic. And it's like, damn, I like that feeling, you know? So I'm going to do a little bit more today.
You just gave me something I've been thinking about. Mm-hmm. You know that whole concept, like, everybody knows your name, right? Mm-hmm. So whether it's a coffee place where every morning they greet you, they know your name, they drink, or Magic City.
Yeah.
Where the staff, like it seems like, For establishments, that's all you got to do. Make people feel welcome, and they will come back.
The Cheers, remember Cheers?
That's what that song comes from.
Yeah,
and so they'll even overlook if you mess up a couple times because of how they treat you. And for some reason, people don't understand that basic, because that's all they want. They want to come in and feel like I'm special.
Thank you. If I'm gonna spend my money with you, yeah, like not saying like greet me. Oh my God, you're here and all this shit. Yo, my, just hey, how you doing? You look nice today. Oh, I love your sneakers. You know, and that compliments. That one compliment can carry years of customers.
Right.
You know, like they coming back because you gave them a free extra shot.
Right.
But really you overpoured, you know.
You know. Right.
And you do little things. And I had to learn all that, man, to remember someone's name or give them special recognition over the mic in front of their favorite basketball player or their favorite artist. And I'm saying your fucking name, and then I come behind it, Matt and Drake in the building. Oh my, how fucking great did that sound?
Right.
You get it?
Right. Yeah. In wrestling, they call that putting you over.
Yeah, so that would happen.
Right?
Yeah.
It's putting somebody over. Talk to me about, how much did you want to, like, put out music or be on record? Because I know you've done some stuff.
Right.
Like, you did some stuff with Future, right?
Right, correct. So my first project, and I remember it took me 3 years just to really learn how to DJ, and then another 3 years to prove myself. So on my sixth and seventh year, I remember DJ C Money and DJ Scream was like, you know what? You got to put out a mixtape, you know? And what is a mixtape? Like, I'm that green.
You knew what a mixtape was.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like,
you heard other people's mixtapes.
I'm saying, like, what is a mixtape? Like, how do I do it? How do I get processed? You know, what I need to do? I never knew that part of the game, the mixtapes. You know, I'm listening to it, but I didn't know how you get put on like that. And I just remember my first mixtape was with Big Boy from Outkast. And I'm a big Outkast fan. And my first mixtape was with Big Boy. My second mixtape was Dirty Sprite with Future. And after that, it changed the game for me, you know. And to put out music, that's where I'm at now more than in the clubs like I used to be. I'm more producing now and executive shit and doing radio, you know. And it's a great feeling, but you definitely want to put out as much product as you can in this life.
Well, the younger folks won't understand life before Instagram.
Oh,
life,
man.
Before Instagram, I only know who you are if I come to this club.
Correct.
Or come to the clubs that you work at.
Correct.
And my friends say, you got to check this guy out.
Word of mouth, right?
Right.
So now social media comes about, and it's like, you really don't have to do half the work. Just put out content, you know? And it's a different feeling. But I was raised off the MySpace. Like, damn, MySpace came into play. I thought that was in Facebook. I'm thinking these two is game changers.
So we're doing all that you have, I'm guessing you get, is that my thing blinking? It's like you got this little red thing. I'm like, I think that's this.
I hope it is that.
Oh, maybe it's the fire thing? I don't know what it is. I'm guessing.
Got a red beam on me. You gonna ask what is that?
Well, because it looks like it's coming from here. Anyway,
it might be, guy.
I'll edit that out if I remember to later.
Keep that shit. Fuck, got a red beam on me and magic.
No, I get. I'm guessing you get hit up an awful lot. How do you choose which projects to say yes to?
Right, that is a great question, and I have no answer. If I feel it and I see the artist. Or the venue is nice and they're doing more work than me, I kind of gravitate towards that. But to pick these artists nowadays is kind of hard because you really don't know who's going to blow until you know. Or let me say it like this. It's like it's a few artists that I wish I would have worked with, like Lil Baby. Like, damn, if I knew Lil Baby's going to be as big as he is now and still growing, I'd have jumped on that opportunity.
Right.
But I was working with this other artist, had me pinned down, you know, doing all the work, and he turns out a bust.
Right.
And I'm like, if I'd have took that same energy.
Somebody who shall remain nameless at this point?
Please remain nameless.
Okay, that's fine.
But you know, and I went through that, and I missed the opportunity to work with Lil Baby, you know?
Right.
And I'm like, damn, it's hard to just pick like that. You just got to be.
You know what Fabo just told me?
What?
I just had him on the other day.
I love Fabo.
He said, Lil Nas X sent him Old Town Road, and he just like skipped the email.
Skipped it. Not knowing it was going to be the number one fucking song in the country.
Right.
On the charts for months.
Right.
You know? And it sucks like that. And artists go through that. You know, it's a few times I've done that. Picked the wrong artist or picked the wrong box. You know?
Back the wrong horse, as we say.
What is it called? Back the wrong horse.
Yeah. You never heard that before?
Fuck no. What that means?
Like at a horse race, right?
Oh,
like
yeah.
Like you put all your money on, you know,
yeah,
whoever, right?
Yeah.
Bob's Revenge, and
right.
You fucking back the wrong horse, man.
Yeah.
I mean, that happens in business.
Okay, I get it now.
It happens in business a lot. Like yours is a perfect example.
That is true.
You got these two guys, you're like, I'm going with that one. And then
the whole time, you should have went with fucking B.
Right.
A and B.
So how busy do you stay now?
Like,
I thought you worked here. You don't work here anymore.
Well, I do work here. I just haven't been back in a while.
Okay.
So I started doing OVO Radio XM. It's called Sound 42 on a Sirius XM. And I started my own production and label company, and I'm working with Sony Music on a few projects. Actually, I just dropped a project today, Cahill, called Red Pill, and he's going to be a great artist. He's from Kentucky. And I got another artist, young artist named YP the Chaser, and he's going to be big. He's from Atlanta. And he's going to weigh Savannah, but he stays in Atlanta. And he's going to be a big artist. They're all young. And the projects I got coming now is just like, they're not stopping, man. So I'm not working in the clubs like I used to, but I'm still working these hours, you know, to come up with a radio show, to be around in the studio process of making beats and making songs. That's all night. That's like 12 hours, 14 hours shifts.
How often are you on XM?
It's just Saturday. It's called Houston, Atlanta, Vegas. It's 2 hours. It's like 2 hours in Houston. They got the DJs in Houston. Then they come to Atlanta and do 2 hours. And then they go to Vegas and do 2 hours. So it's a great concept.
How, other than this city, what is like your favorite city to play in?
L.A. So the contract is over now. But L.A. was my second home for the last 4 months. And I'm doing Cheetahs out there. And I do 2 weeks out there and 2 weeks here. But L.A., Vegas, and Miami.
Cheetah's not, doesn't have anything to do with the Atlanta Cheetah, right?
No,
different Cheetah.
No, different Cheetah.
What about, what's the big one out there? I used to live in L.A.
L.A. is nice.
What's the big one? The Rhino? What about that one? You know that spot? Might be gone.
It might be gone. Because they really don't have a lot of strip clubs. They not, you know, they don't. They might have, like I know Deja Vu. You heard Deja Vu?
Yes.
That and Sam's.
Where is this Cheetah that you're talking about?
In Hollywood.
On what street?
Oh, fucking
Hollywood Boulevard, Sunset?
No, it's not on.
You were there for 4 months. You don't know where it is?
It's off. No, I don't know the address of this. Like, I'm not doing that. I can Google this shit. You can Google it, right?
Did you drive or take an Uber?
No, I have a driver.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, man. This is a driver.
All right. We're going to have to ask the driver.
They can Google Cheetahs in Hollywood.
I'm just making conversation, man. Yeah. That's what this is.
Exactly. Yeah. Because I'm not getting mad at this shit. I'm just telling you.
Because I used to live out there.
We gonna Google.
What about planes? You fly in public or private?
Commercial. I'm on the 33rd row.
Not even that middle business section.
Yeah. If I got a great gig, I would definitely do the window seat by the wing.
Right.
Yeah, it's nice. But I remember, listen. I got hella stories, but I just remember coming from D.C. I was doing a gig in D.C., and my flight is at 7 a.m., and the gig was over with at 3 o'clock. And we go to a after party, and I'm toasted, like I'm fucked up. And I remember, oh, shit, I got a fucking flight to catch. I remember going to my hotel room, grabbing my bag, running to the airport. I mean, you know, flying to the airport. And when I get in the airport, I still got like 5 minutes before they close the door.
Right.
I go to Chipotle and get a whole plate of Chipotle. And I remember I was already hungover, man. I was eating, before the takeoff. I'm eating the food and shit. And I remember the first turbulence, like, my stomach dropped.
Oh, no.
And it came back up. When it came back up, the Chipotle came up also. I'm on a window seat, guy. Five people got sprayed with throw up. No lie. True story. And I felt so bad. I felt, in the movies, they had a little barf bag. You know, ever seen that shit in the movies when they got a fucking barf bag? And I'm grabbing the barf bag, and I put the shit over to catch it, and it flew. It was so much. It flew out my hand. And I remember trying to cover it up, and the shit sprays everywhere. Not only that, the person beside me, the person in front of me, like five people got threw up. And I just remember, like, I felt so fucking bad. And this white lady, I'll never forget, this white lady was like, oh, my God, I'm so disgusted. How could you? So I'm going to the bath. You know, I'm in the bathroom for an hour, the whole flight. And the steward's like, yo, you have to go back to your seat before we land this plane. And I'm like, fuck no, I'm not going back to my seat. Meanwhile, I don't took a whole shower in the bathroom and on the plane. You know how small that is.
Right.
Changed my whole outfit, threw my whole outfit in the trash. And I had to go back and sit down. But anyway, I go back to sit down. I had to pass these people. I'm sorry. Excuse me. I'm so sorry.
Oh, my God.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, my God.
But I apologize. You know, I'm scooting, trying to get back to my seat because they're not going to land a plane. And this white lady, she had this, what's them shit, the wet wipes?
Right.
Or, you know, she got the smallest wet wipe just wiping throw up and shit corn off her, like,
oh,
still.
Oh, my God.
Like, and I felt so bad about, like, ever doing 6 a.m. flights. like I never want to do that again. Like all my flights now is 10 and after, you know. And I just remember, like, if I could have flew first class, only one person probably got threw up on, you know, or private jet.
I've interviewed a lot of people. That's one of the greatest stories I've ever heard.
I got several. But it just comes with life, you know, and being active.
Well, being up late like that.
Oh, man.
In this world, mm-hmm. nightclub world, strip club world, there's mm-hmm. a lot going on, right?
Yeah.
And so how, I kind of want to ask you, like, how you've, like, stayed out of trouble and not gotten, like, hooked on anything. And, you know what I mean? Like you seem to be relatively have it together. A lot of folks don't.
No, I don't have it together. Out. I don't. You're just looking at something else. I left my other body at the house. I took something else. But at the same time, it is hard, man. This is it's not a dark place, but it is. You have these elements from marijuana to drinking. You're not realizing if you work say 6 days a week, even taking a shot every day with your bartender or your friends, it's like it's always somebody's birthday. That shit can slow you down tremendously. Smoking marijuana and all the drugs.
And they want to give you stuff, right? Let's get out with the DJ. Let's smoke them up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, they do that. And for a while, in the beginning, I would not smoke. The first time I smoked, I DJed my ass off. I DJed the best set ever. And I remember saying, shit, I'm never DJing again without smoking. You get it? But before that, I would never smoke. I couldn't understand how the DJ would smoke and be high as hell DJing. I couldn't understand that until I did it. And once I did it, the best set ever, right? So the next day, I tried to duplicate that. It wasn't the same. So I'm still chasing that drag, you know, like, okay, I'm going to repeat this shit. I can't smoke. If I don't smoke, I can't DJ. I had that mentality for a second. But once you get great at what you do, you don't need drugs. But it's there. Hey, Jack, it's there every night. And that's why I like my phrase, like, what a night. What a night means, like, so much shit has just happened that no one can just, you know, will believe, you know. And it's been some drug nights too. I did shrooms in St. Pete, and I had to leave the club because I couldn't handle it. Like, I didn't know what shrooms was. I took that shit, the chocolate bars, or it might have been a Tootsie Roll. And I remember taking that shit, and that shit kicked in. Yo, my computer came to life. It was like all kind of, you know, I was freaking out. And I remember I had to get these people their money back because I couldn't handle it. They was fucked up. So the drugs part and all that, man, like, try to stay away from that shit.
Is there a time in your life you see yourself slowing down, having normal daylight hours?
Yeah, now. Now. Like, now. Like, now. And I've been rocking for a while, nonstop, right? But these last few months, I have changed my course. So not working in nightlife like I was for the last 15, 20 years, I go to sleep at 12. That's unheard of for me. And usually I go to sleep at 9 in the morning, 7 in the morning, and then have to be back up at 2 in the afternoon. But now going to bed at 12 is the greatest thing I ever done because I get way more work done in the daytime. Coming from night shift, you know, night shift is a beast by itself. But working in the daytime, I just feel like I can accomplish more. And it's normal hours for people that's normal.
Right.
You know, and we consider not normal. Like, nightlife, that's not no normal shit. To for a person to go out and then you don't get home to 5, 6 in the morning, that's not normal.
So you wanna keep it this way? You wanna not necessarily go back to your saying?
No, I'm gonna do both. Like, yo, my son told me, I told my son, yo, I'm quitting DJing in the club. I'm not DJing no more. And my son, 16, at the time he was like 14, he was like, yo, dad, just do both. Cause I wanna do the day shift, like the daytime activities also. But I was so hungover from the night before. I'm so high, you know, that I didn't do it. And at the same time, he was like, yo, just do both. So I had to cut out drinking. I can't drink Casamigo all day, all night. I got to leave the Casamigo alone. I can't smoke 10 blunts like Snoop all night. I got to go to fucking sleep, you know. Can't party big booty bitches at my house every night. Bitch, y'all got to go home.
You don't get enough of it here? You need to bring them home?
Well, I don't, because I work, listen, and that's a great ass point. Watch this. So all my friends love me, from my NFL friends to my actors and like all entertainers love what I do, but I don't get to enjoy it.
Because you're behind the glass.
I'm behind some turntables. And I'm like, I'm watching you guys have the time of your life and I'm working.
Right.
So, and then on my days off, I don't want to go to no strip club because I'm just been in that shit the whole time. So I might have some extracurricular at my condo, and it's just like a club, you know? And even they have to go home. Like, hey, man, it's time to go. Lights on. Like,
you have neighbors like at 6 a.m. Like, what's going
on? They understanding now.
What's that?
They understanding now. They more understanding now.
Your neighbors?
Now, yeah.
Did you start inviting them over? That's usually the way to do it.
Fuck no. Hell no. Not my lifestyle. They know exactly what the fuck going on through the walls. The neighbors know my name, guy. And I just remember I just got a new neighbor 3 months ago. And she was so polite. She came, knocked on my door. Meanwhile, I got the music pumping. And she came to my door. And she's a publicist. And she, like, it's a real white neighborhood shit. Like, I brought a pound cake, and I'm your new neighbor. And,
right.
You know, she did all that. And meanwhile, I just took some shrooms. And I'm looking at her like, I can't really talk right now. Like, you don't know how fucked up you look to me right now. And she was so nice, and I felt so bad. But at least she introduced herself. She was like, you must do music. Because there's always some music going on in your crib. But my neighbors, though, and I might get them, like, lunch value. A lunch voucher, like $100, like lunch on me today. I know I was loud as hell. I know I was loud as hell tonight.
Right.
Last night, you know, lunch on me. I try to, you know, make up for it.
Right. How many Jordans you got?
150 pair. No, seriously.
How does one decide which pair we wear today? I want you to describe the color you got on today, by the
way. So this is a, hold on, I got my glasses on. Is this royal blue? So there's some, These are my favorite ones right here. And it started with one pair, and then it became obsession.
That's usually how it goes.
Yeah, and every time I come to work, oh, my God, you never had the same pair of shoes on.
Right.
But sometimes I do, you know. It's just different.
But outfits. I'm saying, how do you decide in the morning or whatever?
It starts with, I don't know, man. I start with the shoes always. Like, I'm going to wear these pair today. And then I start with the outfit. Okay, I got to have some pants or some shorts. I got to put my shirt together. Like, a whole costume change every fucking day. But in my house, it's shoes everywhere. Like, right. I'm running out of fucking room. Right. I'm going to sell the couch.
And you got some anime on the shirt there.
Yeah.
My son is huge. My son loves it.
That's real big in his life right now.
Yeah, he made my little background thing. I mean, he didn't make that, but that's what he stuck on there. That's like,
yeah, anime is hot right now.
Lives for that stuff.
And I didn't know as much, like, gaming.
Right.
You a gamer?
I'm not a gamer.
You be on Twitch?
No.
No, me either. But my sons love it. They fucking love it. I'm like, I didn't know you could make money off that.
I was going to say, it's another way for you to make money.
I did not know that.
Just go on, say, yeah, I'm on live, start spinning, and flip the switch there.
So when he was like always into games and shit, and I was just be so mad, like, go the fuck outside and, you know, live life. And he was like, no, Dad, this is what I want to do. Build computers and be a gamer. And we put him in a few tournaments and shit. But once I learned that you can make money off this, like, serious money, I was hooked. But I'm not a gamer, though. I can't do that shit.
Speaking of go outside, how was the pandemic for you?
Rehab.
That's where you spent
it? That was my rehab.
Okay, gotcha.
The pandemic was like, damn, I've been in the clubs for so long that I took a six-month break. And at first, it was like, I'm sleeping for 2 weeks. Like, literally, 2 weeks. And then I got tired of sleeping. Now I'm still in the same spot. It was kind of bad for a second.
Do you think you're depressed?
Not depressed. I wouldn't use the word depressed, but I was lonely as fuck. Can I use that?
Yeah.
I was lonely as fuck. Like, I didn't trust anyone in my house. I wasn't inviting people, even my own kids. Like, you gotta go stay with grandma. Like, you just, you know. And I just remember I needed that at the time because it showed me I can also do X, Y, and Z opposed to just doing music. You know what I mean? Like, I'm a great cook. Like, my podcast, I'm going to try to drop it December, Cooking with Crooks. You like that?
I love it.
A fucking chef. It's more things. Like, I like watching Duck Dynasty and Swamp People, some redneck shit.
Why do you like watching Duck Dynasty?
I love it. These rednecks. You ever seen Duck Dynasty? So, my favorite character is Sai and all that. But I just, it was so humbling. These people have millions, and they still carry on. They still carry on as they did before they had money. And I appreciate that shit. Meanwhile, in my family and just looking at other people, once you have money, you change. you know? And money should never change you. It might change your ideas a little bit, but you as a whole, it should never change you, you know? But these are some of the things that I found myself doing during the pandemic. Like, I'm binge watching Duck Dynasty. And it was so crazy. And all my friends, they hood, they street niggas. So they's like, the fuck you doing watching these rednecks, you know? And I love that shit.
All right, we always close with the Atlanta favorites. Mm-hmm. It's the Atlanta favorites quiz. There are no wrong answers. But speaking of content, I'm going to turn my camera on for this part.
Okay.
So let's put this down for a second. Or you can actually, you know what? You can tell me what you got going on, like coming up.
Well, right now you're listening to the world famous DJ X Rated, and I'm on the ATL podcast. So my new ventures and new projects are coming up. I have this big project called Kentucky Bluegrass with this artist named Cahill 270 or 270. And it drops tomorrow. You need to go check it out. Also, be looking out for the big screen. I got things in motion. I like to talk about a lot, but I got things in motion. And clothing line to my food network. And I'm golfing.
Oh, golf. Food network?
Yeah, I'm a food networker. And my new hobby now, cooking with crooks.
Oh, so it hasn't launched yet?
No, yes. And the new thing is golfing. So golfing is a whole new element. And we're doing that, golfing with rappers. And we're going to put that out also coming up this spring. And that's about it, yo. Oh, yeah, follow me right now at DJ X Rated or at the DJ X Rated. THEDJXRATED. Your boy. It's real. Yo, I want these Magic City wings. Like, I'm trying to wait till they open up.
Believe it or not, I'd not been in here.
Would you order online?
No, I'd never been in here. I'd never eaten the wings, never anything. So when I first came to interview Juju, first of all, I couldn't believe
Juju, my boy, man. Juju is one of a kind. This motherfucker's one of a kind.
I couldn't believe how small this place was. Because you hear about the legend, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I can't imagine. When they said the limit's 350. Who knows how many people y'all squeeze in here? I can't imagine what it's like with that many people in here.
Fucking packed and shoulder to shoulder sometimes. But the energy is incredible. And the best thing I love about Magic, though, is a few things, but they have so much structure in this club, like from the staff to the bartenders to, you know, the dancers. And I see why it has lasted as long as it has. And I'm like, I really appreciate clubs like that. But it's so small, man. Guy, you think on the outside, you walking in, it's just like a one-bedroom apartment.
All right. First question. Mm-hmm. What is your go-to order at the Waffle House?
I don't fuck with Waffle House, but I used to. So if I go to All-Star Meal, Hash Browns Crispy, and Crispy My Bacon.
What is your favorite current restaurant in Atlanta, your favorite place to eat?
Cheetahs.
You know who else said that?
Who?
Juju.
Juju said that? I fucking love Cheetahs to go eat. I'd rather just go to eat. You don't go to play. Well, not us.
Right.
Some people do, but we really go there to eat. That and Magic. I hate to say that. And restaurant part, though, I like Steamhouse. I'm a big seafood fan, like oysters and shit.
And where's that?
Right here on West Peachtree Street.
Okay.
I'm at Peachtree Street.
Okay. Complete this sentence. I take Marta blank.
Never. Fuck no. Get your ass beat up on Marta. Rob. That shit worse than the what?
I take Marta.
You took Marta?
I don't get beat up.
Look at you. Who the fuck better beat you up, guy? You dress like white people. All that money. Y'all, man, it's terrible.
So I'm gonna tell you something. Mm-hmm. Okay, last night, there was this Crown Royal event, and mm-hmm. I went to see New Face there and see what's what. You know, I'm doing this podcast. I'm trying to get out more, right? I got three kids. I don't go out that much at night.
Right.
So I'm at this thing, and this dude starts talking to me, and this, like, other, like dorky white dude. And I'm like, I want to get away from him.
You want to get away from the dorky white dude, right?
Yeah, right. But then I thought, fuck, is that how they see me? Like, I was dressed slightly better than this.
No, you got a little charisma about yourself.
Right.
So that's different than the dorky white guy.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, I felt, you know what I'm saying? Like, oh, fuck. Like, if I think that, do they think that? I got to get away from this guy. So, I can't be the other white dorky dude at this party.
Fuck no. So what you do?
I just, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
The food came by, and I grabbed some food, and I was out.
Right. Well, as you should have.
Can we back up a little bit? You said that I have most likely a white audience, which I feel like obviously like now I do. But can you help me maybe spread the word? I'm trying to grow this thing.
Interviewing people like us.
Okay,
that's gonna help.
All right.
No, man, I think you do a great job. I really don't know your audience and who's listening and what. But I know from doing the radio show, it's hella people from different demographics that will listen, and my biggest fans are they're in Japan. Like I get most of my DMs and shit from people in Japan listening to me.
Do you have to translate it?
No. It's already there. Like they're not.
They're not doing it in Japanese characters?
No.
All right. Rank these in importance to you. Falcons, Braves, Hawks, United.
Braves, United, Hawks. I don't even want to say Falcons.
You got to put them last?
Man, have you not seen what we've been through the last 5 years?
Of course I have.
Yo, I'm terrified of this season. Last season was even worse.
Why would
But when they winning, that's what I'm saying. When you winning, everyone loves you.
No, of course. But at least with Matt and Julio, we thought, okay, we're only a couple plays away from breaking this game out.
Right, correct.
So I know there's not a plethora of good quarterbacks, but you want to pick up Marcus Mariota? We're not going to.
Terrible.
Come on.
Terrible.
Come
so
on.
So they definitely dead ass last. I remember, listen, this, like, when Michael Vick was here, the city had so much juice. Like, they didn't care if you won or lost. They just remember Michael Vick putting on a hell of a show performance.
Right.
So we get stuck with Matt Ryan. And Matt Ryan had a great run, but he was never able to complete it.
Right.
Right? And then we lost Julio, and I just thought, man, how fucking dare you, Julio, leave us? Not knowing he still got a family to feed, better offers, you know. But to
the way he did it wasn't great either.
I was like, man, I will give Julio an extra $2 or $3 million just to stay. And I know P and QC and all everybody else,
right?
They would, you know. I was like, please stay, Julio. But at the same time, you know, Falcons still last.
I know, but again, if you're him and you go to like, well, let me go to Tampa to play with Tom Brady, or let me go to this other winning franchise. It's like you go to the Titans. It's like you're just up the road, and
you think he made that decision to go to the Titans?
You think they're the ones who wanted him?
He had no choice. Well, he had a choice. Of course, everybody has a choice.
But you're just saying that's the trade that was offered, and he said, "Fine, I'll take it."
Right, but I wouldn't have. That was a terrible decision also. Now, this year, he might have a shot at 800 yards or something this year.
Right.
But even Brady, I don't think Brady's not going to be Brady this year.
Well, we've said that a lot before, and he has proven us wrong many
fucking
times.
Right. How you do that? That's prepared. That's that X-rated
Just
mentality.
Think, you could have got that last year at Michigan with him.
Yeah, man. I was in sight. But I did play against Peyton Manning and shit. That was dope.
Yeah?
Yeah, that was dope.
Did you pick him off?
Fuck no. Peyton Manning was so good, yo. We studied Peyton Manning moves, all his little weird ass signals and signs and shit.
Was he doing that back then?
Omaha.
They let him do that back then?
Yes. He was Tennessee, yes. He was murdering.
What other QBs were around then? I can't even remember.
Me either. I can't fucking remember.
You're killing me, dude. Just making sure we're still rolling here. Okay, where was I? Atlanta favorites. Okay. Publix or Kroger?
Publix.
Because
better food. Better choices, higher prices.
Okay. Actually,
I like Whole Foods, though.
If you can afford it.
Yeah, and that's why I learned that, too. That shit is expensive, but definitely Publix.
All right. Are you a fan of the show Atlanta?
No. I really don't watch reality shows. Well, that's not a reality show.
No, that's a regular show.
It's a real regular show. No, I'm not.
It's a really good show.
I heard.
You really should watch it.
I might after this interview.
Gambino ever been in here? He's probably been in here, right? Childish Gambino?
I'm pretty sure he has.
Right?
I do like him, though.
Okay.
As an entertainer.
Who, of all the folks that come in and out of your life in these different clubs, who's, like, walked in that you like, kind of lost your mind but had to be cool about it? Like, okay.
You want to hear this?
Yes.
This is a real story.
Okay.
Rihanna.
Okay.
Yo, I lost my fucking mind. I was still cool. Still cool for Riri.
Right.
But, man, I remember this night.
Was it here?
Yeah. It was in Magic. Hey, listen. I remember it was like a pack of 10 females coming in at a time. And I was trying to figure out, why the fuck is all these women coming in here like this? But did I not know Rihanna was right behind them? And when I tell you, I was a fucking groupie. Like, Rihanna could have did anything to me that night. But she did. So, you know, I don't know why not. she had me to herself the whole time. But I remember.
Now, is the move to play Rihanna or not play
Rihanna? That's what I was about to say.
So, when she comes in.
So that's what I was saying next. So Rihanna, so I did a little, you know, oh my God, the hottest female in the world is in the building. Do a little PSA. And I remember the females like, play Rihanna shit. And I played like, word, you know? And I remember, I was like, fuck that. This is a true story. I was like, man, fuck that. I started playing like Future and who was hot at the time? Just like some Atlanta rappers. And she went crazy. She didn't want to hear her own song. She right. did a concert. She right. just performed all this shit. She heard like, she want to hear some trap music, some T.I.G.'s. Like right. she want to hear that shit. And I remember she was turned the fuck up. She was right here by the H. And I remember like, she wanted to hear that hood shit, you know? Like people think because they're artists, like when Drake comes in, he want to hear Drake all fucking night. They don't want to hear that shit.
Right.
You get it?
I think maybe like a younger artist or a newer artist might be so excited that they're playing him in the club, right?
But when you establish like that, you kind of go against the norm. It's like being around rich people. Rich people like normal shit. They don't want to know they rich. You know what I mean? Like, I got rich partners all the time. I tell them every day, I've been kicked out of bigger houses. This ain't shit to me. This little 2-3-car garage ain't... Yo, they love that shit.
What did you say? You call this the H?
Yeah, the H is right there by the stage.
Oh, okay.
You see it? It's an H.
Oh, okay. What do you call this room, by the way?
This is... Where we at? This is like the freak corner.
That's what Juju called it.
Did he? Oh, it is? Then it's true then. This is a freak corner.
I thought if anybody
I know the wheel spot. Like, that's like the... That's like... If you really don't want to be seen, you definitely over on that side.
Right.
On Lou Wheel's side.
Right. But. He called that the tequila corner. That's what he said that one is. Okay. I mean, listen... It's his spot. True. He knows. I was just curious if that had spread throughout because I thought, does everybody call it the free corner?
That's... Yeah. I guess so then because if I know that. Yeah, that's right.
All right. Final question is, who should I have next on the Atlanta podcast?
That's a great question. Let me see. There's some dope-ass people out here. Fuck. Let me think. Your next guest should be... You want an entertainer?
Anybody that you think... is like a good talker like you are. Like, that's what I want to talk to. Like, the genre doesn't matter, what they do for a living, just like somebody that's entertaining to talk to and has interesting stories and like that.
Oh, you got it.
Like, whoever recommended you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, Loma, I probably said, hey.
Loma recommended him? Oh, I'm about to say I love Loma.
No, she did. That's what I'm saying. Like, like I started getting followed by people that work here because I put up, you mm-hmm. know, because I put up Juju and the thing with Fabo, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, should I interview people from the shop? And she's like, yeah, talk to X, he's awesome. So yeah, you were recommended.
Yeah, that's dope. I got a few people, like my girl Boy Toy. She's an ex dancer, but she is everything you need, and I recommend that. Her name is Boy Toy.
Okay.
And she's gorgeous and a boss. Like, she's a boss of bosses for females, like, you know. But that one. And I want to say, who's a great talker too? Lou Will. You need to put Lou Will on here.
All right.
Yeah.
Can we make that happen?
Let's call him now.
Okay.
Hey, Lou. Yeah, I'm right here.
Oh, I thought you were being serious.
No.
Dude, New Face did that with Fabo.
Did he?
He's like, let's call him. And as soon as the show was over, he FaceTimed.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, Fabo, come do my man's show. So I thought you were being serious.
No, I would have. But I don't like to impose like that.
No,
but I
get
definitely
it.
Set it up.
I get it. I wouldn't. I thought you were serious for a second. Which iPhone is that?
The 3.
It's not the 3, but it's older.
No, it's definitely the 3. It only 2 cameras on here. But meanwhile, I got 7 iPhones.
Why do you have 7 iPhones,
yo,
sir?
Yo, and
which one did I message? That one? Is that the good one? Do I have the good one? I just did air quotes, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, this is a good one. So I remember people stealing the shit out the DJ booth. Like, I have, you know, you charge your phone, and I remember people, what the fuck? I remember people just like,
all right, it's nighttime. Coming to the main stage, we got Sierra.
You sound just like those fucking DJs.
I'm telling you, dude, that was my experience.
That's how I thought strip club DJs were supposed to talk. But
if you're an 18-year-old horny dude and you can finally go, that's where you could go. Like I said, we weren't fucking about to come to Magic City.
Right.
We were going to go to those spots, and so that's where we went. There was a...
Pink Pony and shit.
We never even made it that far out. We went to... was there Flashers? Was that one?
Yeah, Flashers. I remember that.
Is that still there?
No, that's over with. Like, they've, I don't know, man. Like, white strip clubs are different. And they always playing, like, rock and roll shit, you know?
Well, so here's what I've noticed. This has been brought up on the show before, but we'll wrap it up with this.
Uh-huh.
So 20 years ago, mm-hmm. right, most of the, like, the dream girl for the white man was, like, the Pam Anderson type, right? That mm-hmm. kind of porn star look, fake tits, that weird face.
No booty. Yeah.
And now it's completely different.
Yeah.
White men love big booty girls. Like, that's the whole thing.
And these girls know it, too. So
women are going to illegal doctors to inject their own butt.
Fuck, yeah. And their lips. And I seen a girl get her pussy done. Like, pussy injections. Like, it was like this at first. Now it's like this. And I thought that was the weirdest shit.
No one has used that phrase on this program before. You're a groundbreaker.
What?
Pussy injections.
Yeah. See, pussy injections. Real. The shit, the same shit you get in your lips and your...
This is like a cool look you got going on now. This is
that's that blue. That's, yeah, I told him to do that, guy. You didn't see me just over there?
Like, I feel like this should be the start of your, like, hey, we're going to do, like, the cooking with Cook Show. Let's see how this looks in the camera. Not as good on the camera. Yeah, I mean, listen, I appreciate you doing this with me. We set it up quick, which is the way I like it. Like, mm-hmm. hey, do you want to do this? You said yes. And I actually thought it was tomorrow. I forgot that we switched it. So.
Man, I was fucking asleep. I had a long night. It started out great. Had a great night, but then some bitches came over, and I was like, I got to go do this fucking ATL podcast at 2, so y'all hoes got to leave at 11. They didn't leave at 12:30. I'm like, fuck, I need to dress. That's why I kind of got on this bullshit, but other than
that. No, you look all right. So how many, do they have this phone, or they have another phone? Probably they
must. No, other phone. Well, some females don't have the number. They just have a key, so they just come up on the fog. I gave them a fog. Like, I had to order 5 or 6 fogs. I just gave them.
Fob, you mean?
Yeah.
What happens if somebody's already in bed?
Then either one had to sleep on the couch or join in. Like, what the fuck am I supposed to do? Tell them to leave? No. Bitch, go cook or something while we in here playing. You got to come hang out with me.
You did not just say, bitch, go cook. You did not just say that.
Bitches don't cook. They don't. They know that. So if I ask them to, where they go to? First thing a girl's going to cook at your house, or say at my house, because we can't say your house. Wings or some noodles or some shit. Nobody's right. Like ever cooked at my house but me. You know?
Nobody's ever like pulled up like, oh, you got some good spices I want to fuck with? No?
Yeah, the spices I got in my pocket.
You're killing me, dude.
You get it? The spices I got definitely in my... So yeah, they do call them. They pull up and say they need some spices.
I guess you have to understand that coming from where I come from...
Right.
Like, there are no white dudes that I know that have the confidence to say, like, you can come over, and then not even thinking, like, someone else might come over. They're just going to have to either join it or leave.
They got
to
fucking join. Yo, man, my best friend is Mike Criotti, man. He's white from Boston, and we're the total opposite. And it was like, I remember, he's the only white guy in the club with me back in the day amongst all these black people. And
white person like me, or a white person that's kind of more like...
White.
Okay.
But he was still flavorous like you. You know what I mean? Creati got hella flavor just like that. So he was able to be natural, just be him.
Right.
And, and to this day, we like 20 years in, best friends. And to this day, we still hang out, you know. But for me to have a white guy like Bon Jovi or some shit.
Right.
I don't hang with that. Like, it's too much. It's a big culture difference, you know. They don't put seasoning in their food and shit like that. I can't really rock with that. Yeah.
Listen.
We're going to hang out one day, guy. I'm going to show you around.
Okay.
Yeah.
My wife's an excellent cook, by the way.
See, that's why you married her.
Correct.
And had 3 kids.
Correct.
Yeah. I'm trying to get there. And I got 2 kids. Got 2 sons.
And,
but...
and she's hilarious. Like people say, why'd you marry your wife? Obviously, the way she looked. But like, definitely if that. She didn't like crack me up really fucking hard.
See, that's what I'm looking for. The other half.
And then the cooking was like the bonus.
Right.
But we joke, like, we were dating early on. If I came home... Uh-huh. At like 11 o'clock, she'd be like, "Hey, what can I make you?" And it's like, those days are fucking gone now. Like, I come home at 11 o'clock, she's out. That's never gonna
see. That's what I'm.
That's never gonna happen.
So I'm trying to get like your lifestyle now. I'm going to bed at 12 now.
Right.
I'm not staying up like I used to.
Right.
I can't have 5 girls in my bed no more. Right. Only 3.
So your kid's mom,
mm-hmm.
1 or 2?
2.
No, 2 baby mamas or 2? 1.
2 baby mamas.
Okay.
And they best friends, and it's a nice relationship.
So
co-parenting.
That's what I'm saying. So is there a time that you're like, okay,
I should have married her?
No, I want to. Like, we talk about slowing down and going to bed earlier. Like, will there be a wife somewhere in the future?
I do see that because my life
Mrs. X.
Mrs. X sounds fucking great. I like Mr. X. I mean, Mrs. X sounds fucking great right now because it's in process. And I needed that. I need that in my life, a little balance. You know, I'm tired of cooking for, I do everything by myself.
Right.
You know, and at the same time, I was built for that. But to have that other significant other is everything I'm dreaming of right now. You know, to have someone to cook for me or.
People ask me all the time, they're like, well, how do you know? And it's honestly a gamble because.
Yeah.
So it honestly is like, right?
Yeah,
so if you, speaking of right, if you back the wrong horse, as we say, like all bets are off.
Yeah.
Because.
I've been through a few of those.
Right. We all have.
It started out great.
So it's not like I'm a genius that I picked Stacy. I just lucked out.
That's her name? Your wife's name is Stacy?
Yeah. And so we met 15 years ago. And luckily, as things, of course she changed. People are like, oh, they're going to change. Of course they're going to change.
Right.
They're going to get older. They're going to put kids out. They're going to get tired of your shit. All that stuff.
Right.
And if she's a good woman, right, if she's a good woman, then it'll work out.
But to hang, like my ideal wife will be, I'm hanging out with you. Like I get to hang, like to hang out with me, you're going to need some tough skin.
Right.
And productivity. Like I hate lazy, bitches or females. I'm sorry. I hate laziness. You know, it's like the person say, it's the person that does the dishes and it's the person that let the dishes soak, you know? And the person that let the dishes soak always, right before the person that does the dishes say, oh, don't do that. I was going to get to them in the morning. I'm trying to let them soak. You know what I'm saying? So I like the people that does the dishes, you know, guy. But my ideal wife, and when I get married, I will send you an invite. The city was shut down. I already talked to the mayor the other day. Yo, he was already talking about like shutting down 85 South and North when I get married. Yo, it's going to be a fucking hoop.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this program. I know there are countless podcasts you can be listening to, and you're listening to this one. Thank you so much. Listen, many people say, hey, give us a review, blah, blah, blah. And that's all nice. And I appreciate that. But you know what would be even better is if you told a friend, because that's how most podcasts get spread, by you telling a friend, oh my gosh, I got a new podcast. I love it. It's all about really cool, creative people in Atlanta from all walks of life. Go check it out. So that's what you can do for me as a thank you to listening to today's episode or any of these episodes on here. As I said, we'll be bringing these to you every Friday. I've got some great guests coming up. I've got some already great ones in the can, and I've got some good ones coming up that I can't wait to bring to you. So thank you again for listening. Thank you again, Fink and a Filter, my current favorite coffee spot. Love you. Miss you. Mean it. I have got to run.